So this week we're talking about, obviously, love languages. And one of the things that is unfortunate is that I don't like this topic. And for years, my wife has sung the praises of this concept as a very useful tool to help explain some of the conflict and health we see, not just in marriage relationships, but in friendships, family systems, places of work, because if, I think the theory is, if you communicate to people in a way that makes them feel connected to you and important to you, you get a better response. I actually agree with that theory, but there's something about the love languages that has always bothered me. Finally, I've just submitted. I've just broken down. As the years have gone on, I've just broken down under the weight, the cumulative evidence to support that, you know what, my wife's right about this. Here's why. When you see enough people in conflict about little things, you continue to ask the question, if that's a little thing, why did it get such a big reaction? And most of the time, the reason is their love tank is empty. So when my love tank is empty, you can buy me flowers, although that wouldn't really work on me, you know, it doesn't work. If my love tank is empty, you can write me a poem, buy me flowers, and you didn't get me enough flowers, and the poem wasn't good enough. But if my love tank is full, you can forget our anniversary, and I might get upset at you, but we're going to be just fine. Probably with a small apology, because I know I'm loved. I really know I'm loved. All right, shall we begin? If you want to take a real quick test, actually all you got to do is Google love language test, and you'll find probably about 10 of them of various lengths. This one's a 30-second one that my wife said is almost patronizing in its simplicity. But whatever. Yeah, here they are. Do you want me to go back so you can write that down? I'll just email you the PDF. Don't worry about it. The five love languages. Gary Chapman is the guy who came up with this way of dividing different ways people feel loved. Number one, words of affirmation. Number two, quality time. Number three, receiving gifts. Number four, acts of service. And number five, physical touch. So again, just five big areas that help people feel more connected. Most of us are stronger in a few of these. Some of these don't matter as much to most of us. Others matter more to some of us. It seems like it's fairly important to get to know which of the two or three of these your spouse has the greatest ranking in. Gifts mean very little to me. Quality time means tons to me. All right, let's unpack them one at a time, and as we unpack them, I'm going to hand the microphone back and forth and then let you guys comment. Without Joe and Gloria here and without Bobby here, there may be a shortage of ADHD, so. You like that.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, when Bob's here, I don't have to worry about whether there's enough content. It's not an insult, by the way. Okay, words of affirmation. Actions don't always speak louder than words. If this is your love language, unsolicited compliments mean the world to you. Hearing the words, "I love you," are important. Hearing the reasons behind that love sends your spirit skyward. Case in point, me to her, "I love you." Her to me, "Tell me why." Me to her, "Ugh." Insults can leave you shattered and are not easily forgotten. Anyone, words of affirmation, really big for you? Jay? Yeah. Richard? Richard, you rock. Why do you rock? Oh, man, put me on the spot here. Why does that asking me why make me so... Anyone else? Being asked to give the reasons, does that like make you feel like put on the spot and like pop quiz? It's like a pop quiz. You're like, oh man, I didn't prepare for this. It should. Okay. She's saying, love language is too much work. She says, that's why I don't like it. Hey, Rob, get a microphone rolling around in the, because that was a good comment, and I wish it were on the audio. I probably don't fit your stereotype. I'm a talker, and I express my emotions so much that I'm like John Mayer. You know what I mean? Everyone wishes he'd stop talking about his feelings. For the love of Pete, just close your mouth and open guitar amp louder. Shh. Blah, blah, blah. You know? But there's something about having to give compelling reasons why. But if I don't, she won't receive the love I have for her. So it's a skill that I must grin and bear and choose to dig into my soul, find something honest, and share it believably. I don't think that's true. Because what if her love language and my love language are not the same? Yeah.
In fact, sometimes if your love languages are totally different, it can be almost another issue. Can you go back to where, like, I'm going to be just real open and honest. Bob's and I's are totally different. His is acts of service. So when he washes the kitchen floor for me, he thinks, I am showing this woman how much she loves me or how much I love her. To me, it's quality time. To me, I'm going, you'd rather wash the floor than sit down and talk to me. And so it becomes one of these areas where we can, it almost can be an issue unless we stop and go, unless I stop and go, now he is really trying to show his love for me. And I, you know, if I want to, I need to sit down and get next to him and scrub, because that, then he's going, aw, you know? And I'm going, whoa. But that's where I need to lay myself down and he needs to lay himself down. Because he rather, you know, he'll sit there while we're sitting at the table and talking and I'm feeling fulfilled. He's looking around at things going, he's going crazy because he knows he's got this list ticking. And that's part of his personality type too. So all these things really intertwine. But knowing each other's love language, it's another servanthood thing, especially if it's not the same, because it's work. And it's you know, sometimes it's out of your comfort zone to do what your spouse needs.
Yeah. Okay, words of affirmation. We said this a couple weeks back. When I said name calling is not cool, don't do name calling. Insults, I know it might be really hard to restrain insults. It's hard for me to restrain insults because I tend to be a guy who assesses I'm always critically assessing things. Objectively, not trying to be mean, but I'm just making an observation that if we had, for example, and we did this then, if we had a few large bins for the children's toys that were not sorted carefully, it would be easier to clean up rather than a lot of small bins that were very item specific. And, you know, when I expressed that to Carrie, it felt like an insult to her. It wasn't, though. You hear what I'm saying? But because words of affirmation matter to Carrie, I have to be really careful about potential insults because insults hurt her. Don't insults hurt, by the way? Is anyone here who's like, you can call me a fat jerk and I'm going to be okay? Like, I'm not cool with that. Mean is not cool, guys. Don't be mean. Quality time. In the vernacular of quality time, nothing says I love you like full, undivided attention. The magazine is down, the TV is off, the children are not allowed to interrupt my every sentence, the eye contact is there. Being there for this type of person is critical, being there. But really being there, TV off, fork and knife down, really? This guy's intense. Fork and knife down, burrito down, all chores and tasks on standby, that's intense. Makes your significant other feel truly special and loved. Distractions, postponed dates. Still haven't celebrated our anniversary. It was June 16th. Or the failure to listen can be especially hurtful. Who is quality time? You and me.
If you feed me while you're spending quality time with me, that's even better. So I'm not with the fork and knife.
That's what I'm saying. Actually, hand me large, cholesterol high meats, you know, meats wrapped in other kinds of meats. Hand them to me while you're looking at it.
Do you have a slide about the breakdowns in quality time, quality conversation?
No, I was trying to listen to the constructive criticism of Joe Bontrager, who said too much content, slow, too much, and Gloria.
Okay, so, but I think that's important. Well, I don't remember the breakdowns of it. I just know one of them is quality conversation, which is particularly mine versus.
Talk louder.
And another thing, back to the words of affirmation. You don't insult me. But that's because they're personal issues with me. But I just am going to publicly say that you don't insult me. But if someone puts something into words that I find particularly hurtful, it does take a while.
It takes a while because words of affirmation are important to you. This is definitely mine, quality time. And because it's mine, you know, this woman is in high demand. And she's mine. She's my woman. I want all of her. I want all of her as often as I need her. And guess what? I can't have her because there's a lot of boys in my house. There's four boys trying to divide one woman. And, you know, I'm in the middle of talking, and I need this connection time, and Israel runs up, Mom, and she, automatic mom pilot, sets in and she turns and looks and he takes that as a cue to go ahead with his sentence and I am talking. Wait your turn, three-year-old. And so I am very insistent about the rule of pat mommy on the leg and raise your hand. And I may finish my paragraph. Not a sentence, my paragraph. And then say, you may speak. Because it's so important to me to connect with my woman through eye contact and, you know, a flow of a conversation. And the 500, Mom, 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 Mom. You know, I learned certain skills. The other day, somebody screamed in the other room, and a person I was with was like, oh, my goodness. And I said, no. That is a you took my car scream. That is not a my finger got pinched scream. There's a big difference, and I can tell the difference. But receiving gifts. This is definitely not me, okay? But some of you are this. And those of you who are married to these people, win the lottery. Don't mistake them. I'm just kidding. Don't mistake this language for materialism. That's actually the point here. The receiver of the gift thrives on the love, the thoughtfulness, and the effort behind the gift, the personalization of it, the, oh, you shouldn't have of it, not the, oh, we can't afford this of it, you know. It's not the, you did, the Lexus commercials where they're like wrapped in a bow and everything? No, no, no. No. Just wrap a bow around your used car and like put in a better stereo in it or something. I don't know what. Somebody wants a Lexus? Okay. Okay, that's a good... She says, you don't have this gift, so you shouldn't talk about this gift like you know about this, because you don't know nothing about this gift. I can at least read off the screen, though, and then I'll let you do it. If you speak this language, the perfect gift or gesture shows that you are known, that you are cared for, that you are prized above whatever was sacrificed to bring the gift to you. Boy, this is so not me that I actually... It smells scary to me. A missed birthday, a missed anniversary, or a hasty, thoughtless gift would be disastrous. Oh, man. I'm so glad I'm not married to someone like that. I would mess it up every time.
I'm just saying I would mess it up. Well, I think, I know I have a sister that's definitely this way, but she is more, it's not the amount. It's like if you just bring her a cup of coffee, then she has gone, you stopped and you thought about me. Or even if you call her during the day, like if her husband would just call her and say, hey, I had 5 minutes and I just wanted you to know I was thinking of you. And so it's not a financial thing. It's more of this person stopped and they acted upon their thought of me. It's not a...
So cards matter?
Yeah. Just a funny card or a you know, romantic card, or it doesn't, it's not even, you know, I know her husband's even stopped at like the dollar store and bought her like, you know, a hairbrush or something like that. And she's like, he got me a new hairbrush. And I'm like, wonderful, you know, doesn't do it for me. But, you know, they don't have a lot of money, but he finds little things like that because he knows that's her gift.
Get that woman a microphone.
Thank you. This is Somi. Sorry, and I'm very loud. This is Somi that I had actually, we had talked about love languages last night, and I was talking about, you know, acts of service is starting to rank up there, but this is like 100% me receiving gifts. And he is getting so much better at it. This is something that we definitely have to work at, because his is words of affirmation. Not gifts is not his love language at all. But this man has learned to, and for me, it was the fact that this past weekend he had to go up to Pennsylvania. I have been jonesing for some Havarti dill cheese like none other. Like, this is the thing that will satisfy my pregnancy craving. And with as busy as he was, he stopped in Gap at the Town Clock cheese shop on the way up. He bought me some, and he bought me a new cheese to try. And I cannot tell you, my love tank went from overflowing with him just handing me that piece of cheese. Because he was busy. He listened. He stopped. Even though he was busy, he stopped and he thought about me. It also means that he listened to me a day or two prior when I said, oh, man, you know, normally you're either going before it's open or, you know, you're coming home when it's closed and you're not going to get there. He made sure he was going through Gap when it was open. He listened to me. He stored that in his brain. And that to me, even if he had said, honey, I wanted to get there, I just didn't. If he had come home from his trip and even said that, that would have been a gift to me, because it showed that he thought of me and he listened to me while I was going about my day and just threw out a random comment.
It's very intentional.
Exactly.
This is actually extremely helpful for me to understand this gift. Because I think I could probably capture it. I said at first, I'm glad I'm not married to someone like that because I'd mess it up so much. But I think I could probably figure it out after a few years of messing it up, you know. Hey, you know, this isn't working. I could maybe adjust my course. But this isn't me. I tell you what, like, it does matter to me if someone puts thought into a gift. But man, give me cash on Christmas so I can get what I really want instead of smiling and trying to act as nice as possible about the gift that you spent so much time and energy on, but still not right, because here comes that old critical nature again, objectively saying, this isn't what I wanted. Oh, I didn't want that. Could have had cash.
And here's how you know that for both of us, I mean, both of us, this is not a primary love language, and I don't hardly ever receive gifts on any whatever, but generally, honestly, it's okay. Now, sometimes okay. It does matter. Sometimes I'd say it doesn't matter, and then the more I think about it, it does. And then the more I think about it, it really does matter. Because, again, it is the lack of intention. But, and then there have been times, so there have been times where I have said, you can go buy me a birthday present today. But,
there have been times when I've come home after a long day at work and found her looking at me like, oh, no, you didn't. And I'm like, what did I do? You didn't even bring me flowers. I'm going to act like this didn't happen. You can go right now and go get me some. And I'm like, sweet. So off I go. Get the flowers. You got to like a woman who's that honest, who gives me the heads up. What if she just pouted for 3 days? And I was like, I don't understand.
But that's not my primary love language either, so that's okay.
Let's finish them off here. Acts of service. Let's kill them all here, all these people. Can vacuuming the floors really be an expression of love? Who said that? Absolutely. Anything you do to ease the burden of responsibilities weighing on an acts of service person will speak volumes. Anybody not have this gift until they had little kids? There you go. The words he or she most want to hear, let me do that for you. That's good. I would like that most times. Laziness, broken commitments, and making more work for them tell speakers of this language that their feelings don't matter. Let me do that for you. Anything you do to ease the burden of responsibilities weighing on an acts of service person will speak volumes. Is this you? Raise your hand. Scott. Gifts and service. You. One more time. Can I see him all the way up in the air? Interesting. Who is raising whose hand? You're raising his hand. Was that an act of service on his behalf there?
I was just going to say you need to know, too, that you're not just all one usually. You're a combination. You have one is stronger than the rest, but you're not.
Three-way tie, but whatever.
You were a three-way. He was a three-way tie. That explains a lot.
I would say maybe instead of let me do that for you, how can I help you?
Because let me do that for you presupposes that there's only one thing that they're attempting to accomplish at this given moment.
Or that they can do it better than
you. And what I've found with my wife is there's never one thing going on. There's always three or four things that need to be going on, but there's only one of her. And help me, I don't know, that's like secret code for something and I haven't figured it out yet. It's like, move fast, look productive. And I'm like, I need a list. You need to make a list. I'm not going to do all I have enough to do besides sitting down and making a list for you. What are you, five? She's not like that, but that's the frustrate, you know. Yeah, so I have to use some of my creative and problem-solving abilities that I learned in college. That's a joke. To figure out how to help. I think I owe her at least that much, since she has been on her feet most of the day taking care of my wee ones that she pushed out of her birthing canal. Anyone else with a comment? Let's just finish up the list before I embarrass myself further. Physical touch. This language isn't all about the bedroom. A person whose primary, you notice how they said that. They didn't say it's not about. They said it's not all about. A person whose primary language is physical touch is, not surprisingly, very touchy. It was a shocker. Hugs, pats on the back, holding hands. David and Lisa Chupp will be singing a praise song, and their hands, they'll be holding hands. And I'm like, oh, that makes me feel claustrophobic from a distance. You know? There's Amanda's next to you, and like all three of you are holding hands during the prayer time, and I'm like, wow, that is their love language, big time. Hugs, pats on the back, holding hands, thoughtful touches on the arm, shoulder, or face. They can all be ways to show excitement. Get out of my face. They can all be ways to show excitement, concern, care, and love. And clearly this is not mine, is it? You know what I'm saying? It's like, don't get up off me. I'm trying to watch a movie. Physical presence and accessibility are crucial, while neglect or abuse, like hitting or something like that, can seem unforgivable. Now, it's always damaging, but for someone whose love language is physical touch, it's really damaging. Who is this in the room? Remind me to hug Eric more often. Why did that make you guys laugh? Men shouldn't hug. Actually, men should definitely hug. Men should definitely hug. I think one of the reasons that a lot of guys get tricked later in life into thinking that they're actually gay is that their daddy didn't hug them enough, didn't wrestle them enough, didn't take them on the floor and put them in submission and growl enough. I'm not even kidding. I'm dead serious. I think some of those guys that so longed to have a connection with another man in a good, right, godly way never got that met in the right ways until somebody met it in the wrong ways and then convinced them that they're actually gay. So, men, let's do this. Let's be really manly and hug real tight, like a real man. Hug them real tight. All right. That was free. You didn't even pay for that one. So I try to hug my kids real good. All right. Physical touch. What do I say about this? Because I don't know. What do I do about this?
Part that too. If I am upset, just Bob doing that to my arm can diffuse me.
Really?
And yeah.
Wow.
And now if I'm really, really upset, it might take a little bit more than that. Some quality time and a touch. But it's just how you're wired, I guess. I don't know. But he can just by wherever we are, if he grabs my hand, it just communicates a whole paragraph of words to me, just him holding my hand. So that's all I have.
Anybody with little kids hanging on them all the time suddenly find they don't want as much? Nobody, okay. That was her. She was like, you know, breastfeeding and carrying children, and others were dragging with the ankles, and all of them were screaming simultaneously for 8 hours. And then I'd walk in, and I'd be like, hey, babe, let's give me some hugs and kisses. And she'd be like, ah! Everybody get off! Let me see if I can do my cat. That's a cat. So I think some of these love languages actually ebb and flow with seasons of life. Acts of service suddenly became relevant with, you know, the incredible amount of work that's required to just keep a house and meals and, you know, keep life going with little ones. Suddenly acts of service jumped way up Carrie's list. I was picking beans yesterday in the hot sun, and which there's really no other way to do it in Delaware lately. It's like, it's either hot sun or not at all sun. So, okay, I'm picking beans, and I was thinking, I don't like this. This stinks. And then I was like, you know, it wouldn't stink so much if she were out here with me just talking to me. Oh, wow. Did you hear the combination of love languages going on there? But I muscled through because I knew it mattered to her. And then Israel came out and stomped around with me, and both of us were very itchy. I guess that's normal. Is that normal? Somebody help me. Do I have poison ivy? No, but yeah, I muscled through. Just sort of what Diane was saying earlier is, if speaking our spouse's love language, even when it hurts us, is something we're not willing to do, then I don't really know why you should have much hope for your marriage being very solid and strong. Because the essence of discipleship is to humble yourself before the Lord, to take up your cross and follow Jesus, who took the posture of a servant and who didn't consider himself and his own concerns as important as those he was coming to save. Wow. Ouch. So here's the five. Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. You should know where your spouse is. I'm not saying if you don't know right now, shame on you. I'm saying you should find out where your spouse is. This applies to more than marriage. This applies to children, big time. I've noticed with Israel, my 3-year-old, you don't have to spank him hard at all, because it communicates so much, just the fact that you gave him a mild slap on the hind end. I was certainly not that way. In fact, I remember, now I better not say things that are going to be on the recording. They can't go after my mom now. It's too many years removed. Yeah, that's true. I remember my mom breaking doll rods on me, wooden spoons, and, you know, and me being like, you know, with that sassy attitude of them, that whole, you know, you know, at the end of the, you know, not Israel, one little whack on the hind end and he's in a pile. Physical touch is really big to that kid. Really big. Words are so huge to Gabriel. That boy, if I am not careful with my words, I will crush his spirit. I have to build him up. So this stuff, this love language stuff, it's just sort of how different people operate. And learning to speak their language is pretty important if you care about them. Anyone? Bueller? That was good. Did you see the cultural reference? Like, over here, there's some people who got that cultural reference. Bueller. Bueller. Clay gets it. Clay, what's Morgan's love language?
Quality time and acts of service.
How does that work for you?
Pretty good. Most of the time.
What do you mean by pretty good?
Well, the not pretty good part, like you said about the acts of service. If I say I'm going to do something and then legitimately forget, and then she brings it up and I say, well, I'll do it now. Well, that doesn't work. I might as well just not do it. Don't forget.
What do you do to fix that?
Quality time.
He's a genius. That's amazing. He's a quick study. Get this microphone over here to the Biggses. I want to hear what they think about this stuff. Is that okay if I pick on you? Okay. Let's ask Mike. How's this working out for you? What did you learn so far? Not in here, I mean in life.
In life? I think that there's definitely ones that they're stronger at, but you can't ignore any of them.
Okay. What's your priority, though?
Least one would be the receiving gifts, but that can't be ignored.
Okay. So I'm not off the hook, is what you're telling me.
Exactly.
So it's time for me to man up and, like, put some thought into the anniversary.
I'm on this receiving gifts thing. Do not tell me when I'm to buy a gift. I will not buy flowers on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That's just repulsive to me.
Do you hear that passion? Do you see that? His face is totally passionate.
But any other day, I just might do it just because it's out of my heart.
Yeah. So you don't want it to be scripted. You have such a core value on authenticity, having it be an unforced offering, that you'll buy her flowers Wednesday for no reason,
right. Because
it matters, instead right. of on the holiday when it's scripted to you. All right, guys, that's enough for today. They're trying to break in.